translation, Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and all others are his parts or partial incarnations. We find that the whole and the part behave as superior and inferior. Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and all others are his parts or partial incarnations. We find that the whole and the part behave as superior and inferior. Jaista bhava amsite hoya prabhu jnana, kanista bhava apanate bhakta abhimana. The source of all incarnations has the emotions of a superior when he considers himself the master, and has the emotions of an inferior when he considers himself a devotee. I'll read that again. This is very philosophical. The source of all incarnations has the emotions of a superior when he considers himself the master, and he has the emotions of an inferior when he considers himself a devotee. Purport. A fraction of a particular thing is called a part, and from that which the fraction is distinguished is called the whole. Therefore, the fraction or part is included within the whole. The Lord is the whole, and the devotee is part or fractional part. That is the relationship between the Lord and the devotee. There are also gradations of devotees who are calculated as greater or lesser. When a devotee is great, he is called Prabhu. When he is lesser, he is called Bhakta, or a devotee. The supreme whole is Krishna, and Baladev and all Vishnu incarnations are his fractions. Lord Krishna is therefore conscious of his superior position, and all Vishnu incarnations are conscious of their positions as devotees. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So the Lord, when he plays the part of a devotee, he considers himself, or his emotions are in the mood of servant. So he plays both parts. That is Lord Chaitanya. Or even we see Advaitacharya here. The chapter's about Advaitacharya. He is both Amsa and Amsi. He is the incarnation and also the source of incarnations also. He is a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, the original Shiva, who is in the spiritual world, combined to manifest in the form of Advaitacharya, but he is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the sense that he is the source of all incarnations as Mahavishnu. Or when he expands himself as Garbhadakshai Vishnu, then finally as Shirodakshai Vishnu, and Shirodakshai Vishnu is the entrance of all incarnations into the material world. So as even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes through Shirodakshai Vishnu, hard to understand that. But that is the statement of Shastra, how Shirodakshai Vishnu, which is an expansion of Mahavishnu, which is Sri Advaitacharya, is coming, all the incarnations are coming through Shirodakshai Vishnu and all quoting Lord Chaitanya. And it's more like the gateway to the material world. It's like you see many places have their gates, so the way the entrance into the material world as a feature of their appearance. So the part and the whole are different, but sometimes the whole plays the part of a part, and that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or also Advaitacharya. When Lord Chaitanya heard that the servant of Advaitacharya, Kamala Vishvasa, had written a statement describing Advaitacharya's position and also his material debt, he He said Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he owes the king 300 rupees. Wow. Did Lord Chaitanya become quite angry? He manifested his mood of transcendental anger. How is it that this personality can speak about Advaitacharya in such a way that he is an ordinary debtor? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord has no debts to anyone. And the conditioned souls have to pay their debts to the Lord for whatever the Lord provides for our existence. But the Lord owes nothing back to the conditioned soul, or any of his souls, but still he acts in that way sometimes as a feature of his service. Finally, it was corrected and Lord Chaitanya was happy, but he was quite upset that Lord Advaitacharya was called a debtor. So we see from this particular statement, and here also, it is also quite curious, you might take issue with the statement that Srila Prabhupada also calls Baladev, what we say, in the position of the lesser. Why is that? Now, Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We also celebrate his appearance as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it says in the Shastras that Baladev is non-different than Krishna, just like there is a blackish rain cloud and a whitish spring cloud. The color is the only difference between the two. Both have their rasa dances, both are cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Their moods are practically the same, at least in the Vrindavan mood. But here it's mentioned Baladev as in a consideration of a lesser position. Why is that? Because he is the Lord who is in the position of service. He comes, when he appears, he serves Krishna, who is the source of all existence, in various rasas. In servitorship, he serves in various ways. As friendship, he becomes Krishna's friend in Vrindavan. As parental affection, he becomes Krishna's older brother and takes care of Krishna. Sometimes Mother Yasoda says to Balaram, make sure Krishna comes home for lunch. So Krishna, Balaram has that service of taking care of Krishna as an older brother. An older brother has to be listened to according to Vedic culture. Of course, we've lost that mood. Of course, we don't listen to anybody anymore. That's the mood now in society. Do your own thing and listen to nobody except your own mind. There's a nice story, but it's a long story, and I'll tell it a little later. But in that mood of an older brother, Krishna obeys him. Krishna obeys his older brother. One time, what was it? When, of course, sometimes Krishna differs with Balaram. When the cowherd boys and the calves and were in the forest, and then all of a sudden a demon manifested as a forest fire, tremendous forest fire, was surrounding everyone on all four sides, and everyone was thinking, this is death. Krishna said, close your eyes. And they did. And then within a second, he said, open them, and the fire was gone. What he did was he swallowed the fire. He inhaled the whole thing. No problem for Krishna. Why did he say, close your eyes? Because he didn't want Balaram to see him do that. That's why. Because Balaram, when Balaram saw Krishna eat dirt, he told Mother Yasoda. And Mother Yasoda was really alarmed that Krishna had eaten dirt. And so she became overly, what we say, concerned, and she looked into his mouth. And Krishna had to somehow or other manifest a certain mood that destroyed Mother Yasoda's mood as a mother. And she started to have a mood of awe and reverence when she saw all the planetary systems and herself looking into the mouth of Krishna. So Krishna didn't like that so much. And the mood, her motherly mood was adjusted. So, and at this time he said, close your eyes, because he was afraid Balaram was going to say, now he's eating fire. Before it was dirt. Now it's fire. I don't know what you're going to do this time. You better get some water. Krishna said that. So Krishna is a little bit cautious around Balaram when he does things, because he's in the mood as an older brother. And then the last, and of course what we say, the supreme ras, or the ras that includes all other rasas, conjugal love, Balaram manifests himself as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radharani, and also participates in with Krishna in that mood of conjugal love. So this is Balaram. He serves the Lord in all the different rasas. But here, let's take this philosophical principle from another point of view, is that there are a class of philosophers who do not distinguish the part from the whole, who say that the part and the whole are actually all the whole. The part has somehow or other forgotten its existence as the whole, and therefore, until the part remembers that, it remains what we say in the mood of a part. But actually, it's the whole. That's called Mayavad philosophy. Is that we somehow or other are covered with this material existence, and therefore we've forgotten that we're actually the Supreme Lord. And everything is one anyway, and so there's no loss, but it's the only loss is that there is such a thing as forgetfulness. So as soon as the living entity becomes self-realized, they remember who they are, they are also the whole. And they use the example that there's a pot, and there's air outside the pot, and there's air inside the pot. Now the pot represents the body. So when you break the pot, the air from the outside and the air from the inside become one. And therefore, sounds good, right? But it's called crackpot philosophy. That's a better definition of that type of philosophy. So it's just throughout the scriptures, it mentions that the living entity remains always in the mood of what we say, individuality, but still at the same time never separated. Separation is simply illusion, but individuality is the existence of bhakti. Without individuality, there is no love, because love means two. That's why Prabhupada says the Mayavadis, they sometimes attain what we say, Brahman realization, but it's miserable. Brahman realization is miserable because you're by yourself. You have to, Prabhupada said, here's a field. Now if I say, live in that field by yourself forever. Wow. Sounds good, right? I can live forever, but by myself. Love means two, or happiness means two. At least two. Sometimes we say two and more. Don't get me wrong on that point. I mean, in devotional life, the more devotees and the more that we're together serving the Lord, the more the happiness expands more and more and more. That's the point. Because there's one and then there's two. The two are many, but the one is one. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam vidadati kama. There are many twos, but there are only one ones. But those twos are one in relationship to the one. Make sense? Okay. So that their philosophical teachings, the Mayavadis, have a very nice expression of sensibility. But when you really dig deeper, go beyond the surface, it is simply a feature of their envy. And Prabhupada, very, very, very consistently, I think that's the word, consistently, is constantly hammering at this philosophy, or we can use a better word, philosophy. I think that's a better word for this type of explanation. He constantly does that, and you might say, why is he taking so much time, energy, effort, and what we say, explanations? Why? Because the tendency for Mayavad philosophy is everywhere. Because it's easy. You can become God. You can become the enjoyer. I remember we were at the World Parliament of Religions in 2004. I was with Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj. And it was a week-long event. And there were people from all well, we say religious backgrounds, social backgrounds, and so many other things. There are hundreds of different groups in this convention. And then at the same time, they had these outside programs around the convention every night. So one night was Hindu night. It was Hindu night. So they had a group of all the Hindus come together and do their Hindu thing. So we were invited as the Hare Krishnas. We did have one special feature. We did the prasadam for everybody. So that was good. But the Mayavadis took over the whole program. They got on the stage, and it was a lot of them, and they were speaking their nice stories, and everybody was saying, oh, this is so... Even the devotees were thinking, this makes sense. Because they tell these nice philosophical stories that sound very devotional. But the point is, it's about me, not about God. So we were sitting there listening. I was getting more and more angry. I was just like, Subdhamana Maharaj is very calm, you know. He's like, he's transcendental to all this. I was just getting so angry listening to all this stuff. Anyway, it went on and on and on. And finally, one Mayavadi got up there and said, he mentioned some philosophical things and some meditation. And he said, if you practice this, you can be the supreme enjoyer. Everyone said, Haribo. They didn't say Haribo, but they said something, Echo Brahmana Nish. Twitya Nashti, something like that. All glories to Brahman. You know, so it was wild. And the other devotees in the back are trying to serve prasadam so they don't have to listen to all this stuff. So it's going on. Finally, the Supdhamana Maharaj was asked to speak. So he got there and he spoke on a verse, Vasudeva Kata Makyam. What is that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam? First canto, Vasudeva is the cause of sacrifice. He did that whole verse very calmly, very gentlemanly. He's just such a gentleman with everybody. And everybody was charmed and they were listening to his speech. And if they really listened too closely, he was really attacking their philosophy. And finally, at the end, it was time for kirtan. And so the devotee said, finally we can do something. So we got up there and we started the kirtan and all the Mayavadis left. They all left, except their followers. Their followers stayed, but all the yogis, there was a bunch of them too, and about 15 of them, they just all got up. As soon as the kirtan started, they left. They don't like kirtan because they think kirtan is just like, you know, the story between Prakasananda Saraswati and Lord Chaitanya. He said, what are you dancing and chanting with all these sannyasis? You have to study Vedanta. You have to look, you know, like you're important. Serious, you know. What's this singing and dancing and jumping and all this stuff? This is all sentimentalism, right? This is what children do, right? Be serious. Look like us. Miserable. That's what Lokanath Swami told me that. He said, the one thing about the impersonalists, they're always miserable. They have nice philosophy, but still they're miserable. Devotees are happy. So, you know, it went on and on and on. And you know, at the end, many of those persons who were very much, when we say listening and absorbed in what the Mayavadis had, when they heard the kirtan, they just got up from their seats and started dancing and chanting, and they had a good time. And at the end, they came up to us and said, wow, this is nice. Then we served out prasadam, and then that was the culmination. We won. We defeated the Mayavadis. By the grace of Srup Damodar Maharaj's ability to tolerate and at the same time interject. I was just like, I couldn't tolerate it. I just was getting so angry. But anyway, that's my, what we say, intolerance. So you see, they have this tendency, or what we say, they try to connect the whole as everything. And everything is one, right? But everything is one and two. That's the point. That God is one, but God is one in the sense that everything is spiritual. Even Prabhupada, even one time Prabhupada gave a lecture and he said, You are Krishna. I am Krishna. We're all Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. And everybody's thinking, oh my God, is he really serious? We didn't, haven't heard this before. It was one of the early lectures too, I think around 1973 or 74. It was a public program. But then finally Prabhupada said, but we're not the Supreme Godhead. We are part and parcel of the, just like the sun and the sun rays are also ultimately the sun, but one is the source and one is the emanation. And therefore we have to see this distinction. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai ki Jai. So it is very, very, what we say, important. I would say to use the word important or necessary that devotees learn very carefully the difference between these philosophical principles, because there are four categories of anarthas. There are 16 anarthas, and one of the categories is philosophical misconceptions. And one of the philosophical misconceptions is not to understand the difference between Vaishnava philosophy and other philosophical principles. That's why Prabhupada wrote so many books. He also chastised us. He said, you're out there distributing books, but you don't read my books. Learn these books. And if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything is there as far as the philosophic understanding. There's a lot of emphasis on the difference between Mayavad and what we say personal philosophy. Because Mayavadi philosophy is so insidious that it uses tricks to make it look like personalism. I don't know if the tricks are conscious, but they chant the names of God. They worship deities, but they think the deities and the names are simply manifestations of the material energy, which we use because we have to worship something that is tangible, or what we say in this world. And then we go beyond that into the unlimited oneness. So when we hear Srila Prabhupada's explanations, everything becomes clear, just like the sun. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when Lord Chaitanya first met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was highly respected. He was highly respected as a great Vedantist. And he was a leader, also in the Jagannath Puri temple. But when Lord Chaitanya came in contact with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Paramabhauta Bhattacharya thought, again, Lord Chaitanya is just, he's a nice sannyasi, he's very beautiful, he was attracted by his beauty. But really, he doesn't know the real philosophy. He wanted to teach Lord Chaitanya Vedanta. And Lord Chaitanya, in a very submissive way, but with a plan in mind, said, okay. And for 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke Mayavad, or what we say, impersonal philosophy, as a supreme part of the philosophical term. The absolute truth contains both personal and impersonal. But out of the two, the impersonal is concluded in the personal, but the personal is not included in the impersonal. So in that sense, the personal is the supreme understanding of the absolute truth, or the complete, that's a better word, a complete understanding of the absolute truth. So as Lord Chaitanya was listening, he was completely quiet. He didn't say a word, didn't ask a question. And that went on for 7 days. Finally, at the end of 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, you're not speaking, you're not saying anything. Do you have any questions or anything? He said, the Vedanta Sutra, he responded, the Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. And the sun is clear, it's beautiful, it has illumination, light. But your explanations are like clouds. Your explanations are like clouds. And then he was shocked. Because it seemed like he was quite submissive for 7 days. But he was waiting for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to be in the right consciousness where the Lord can interject the truth. If he would have did that at the beginning, it probably would have been an argument back and forth like that. But finally, after he explained his philosophy, Lord Chaitanya said, "Now it's my turn." And then, of course, that whole chapter, the second part of the chapter describes the difference between personal and impersonal. Because everything in this world is personal. Although there is inanimate objects, still they also are living beings. So everything is personal. Everything ultimately is personal. Why? Because it's coming from a person also. So it's important. And when one achieves perfection, we don't lose our individuality. That is, sometimes the Mayavadis or other philosophical teachings say, yes, there is God and us, there's two, but when we are perfection, then there's no longer two, it's one. And they use the example, just like two people become one with each other, but then they become one. You never see two people merging into each other. Maybe their oneness is oneness of purpose, or oneness of existence, in the sense that they live for each other. That is the perfection of oneness. When we speak about oneness in the Vaishnava personalist term, is that there's no difference between Krishna's desire and my desire. That is real oneness. When Sri Narada Muni went into meditation, meditating on the form of the Lord within his heart, he was deep in meditation. At one point, his meditation broke, and he lost that form within. He opened his eyes, he saw that same form standing outside. The Lord said, "You will only see me once in this lifetime." And during that darshan with the Lord, all his limbs became transcendentally, what we say, spiritualized. He was feeling happiness through his whole existence. And it's explained that he actually had oneness with the Lord. And what was that oneness? Not the merging, but the oneness that my existence is simply for Krishna. And Krishna's existence is simply to exchange love with us. So that is the oneness. And that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's all about becoming one with Krishna in love. Not like, you know, you just merge into Krishna and become Krishna. If you become Krishna, what are you going to do? There was a movie one time that somebody was played the part of God, what it was like to be God. And what he was doing all day was that he was just getting headaches because everybody was saying, "God, give me this, God, give me that, God, give me this, God, give me that." He was saying, "Boy, I don't want to be God anymore. This is just too much." But that's not the real God. That part of the absolute truth is really not the feature of Krishna. Krishna doesn't fulfill material desires. Sometimes we Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, Krishna's not your gardener, he's not your stockbroker, he's not your, what is it, marriage counselor. You know, he's not all these things. What is he? He's there in Vrindavan to exchange love in the various types of mellows. That's Krishna. So when we worship Krishna for something material, Krishna manifests himself as Vishnu or another manifestation of his existence, not in the mood of Krishna. If we want Krishna, then we have to worship Krishna in devotion. Then Krishna manifests himself as Krishna to us within the heart. So, and that is the mood of a devotee. It doesn't want to become one with the Lord. In fact, it says that the part also enjoys on the same level as the whole. In fact, and sometimes it says that the part even enjoys greater than the whole. How is that possible? Radharani's love for Krishna was so great that Krishna wanted to be in the role of Radharani to experience her love, because he couldn't even understand her love. So in order to understand that, or to experience the happiness and the nature of her love, and also his own qualities, he took the part of Srimati Radharani in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes it says, and this is the prime example, that the devotee enjoys more than the Lord. The devotee enjoys more than the Lord, or on the unequal level of the Lord. Of course, that is more like an expression that the happiness that one gets in devotional service is unlimited. Anandam Bhuti Varnanam. Lord Chaitanya says that the jiva can experience Anandam Bhuti Varnanam. Ananda Bhuti Varnanam. Like an unlimited ocean of happiness. So the happiness that the jiva can experience is so great that it's considered to be unlimited also. Whereas the Mayavadis, what is their happiness? They don't get any happiness. Or the impersonalists, it's simply a lot of austerity, maybe a little freedom from material suffering, and that's all. And some temporary feelings of joy that comes by merging, or not merging, by freeing from one's material. And then again, padantiyada, they again fall down into the material world. And what do? They take up philanthropical or altruistic work, simply doing welfare for society. In other words, they try to perform activities somewhat in the mode of goodness, but still with personal motivation, so it's still tinged by the mode of passion. So we have to be very, what we say, clear on the difference of these two philosophical teachings. I used that example the other day when even Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was in association with Ram Vishvasa. Ram Vishvasa was chanting the names of Ram constantly. And, excuse me. He was thinking, wow, what a wonderful devotee of Ram. He doesn't stop chanting the names of Ram. And he was so humble, and he was serving Raghunath Bhatta so nicely. But when they both came to Lord Chaitanya in Puri, Lord Chaitanya didn't even look at Ram Vishvasa. He simply diverted his attention away. Why? Because he could understand Ram Vishvasa was simply chanting the names of Ram to become Ram. So people practice spiritual life to become the supreme enjoyer. And Prabhupada also said, even within Vaishnava culture, we have to be very careful always to understand our position. Because on the higher levels of spiritual realization, one also can develop the sense that I am, what we say, great. And as Prabhupada said, the last snare of Maya is to think, I'm an incarnation. I finally realized that after all these practices, all these years. Yeah, that the conditioned soul receives so much mercy and spiritual power by way of the process of devotional service, one starts to mistakenly think that I am as good as the Supreme or simply an incarnation. And Prabhupada said, that's the last snare of Maya. In other words, they have gotten through all of Maya's entrapments, overcome the gross sense trappings, and even on the subtle platform, they've cleared away a few things. But now they think, mistakenly. So, as we make advancement and receive the mercy of the Lord, one should always, and Lord Chaitanya gave the formula, Trinadapi sunichena tayoriva sahishuna amanina mamanadena kirtaniya siddharahi. This keeps the living entity aware of their relationship with, not only with the Supreme, but with everything else within existence. That mood is not only towards the Supreme, but towards everything. That one always has to be in the mood of serving. That is the ultimate principle and therefore, through perfection of service, one can experience what we say the presence of the Lord. And that happiness, or that what we say experience, is called God consciousness, or what we say Krishna consciousness. And there's higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness. Just like when one reaches pure love of God, there are 9 stages within the the category of prema bhakti. One can go to some to the highest stage. Of course, the rasas are limited. Not all the rasas can go to the highest stage. Only in Madhurya ras can you go to Mahabhava. Or the other rasas only can go as high as Anuraga. But there's 9 stages of love of God. But even in the stage of prema, which is one of the second stage of love of God out of the 9 stages, still one is completely absorbed in transcendental loving relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is our nature. To love Krishna is our nature. And to remain always in the mood of serving Krishna. Even when you go back to the spiritual world, you always remain in the mood of a servant. To be a servant is considered to be glorious. In the material world, the word is not very popular. People get jobs as servants. Now, we actually fight to become a servant, right? It's like, let me serve. No, I want to serve. Devotees are like that, right? Let me serve. We know that by serving, we actually are expressing ourselves in the best possible way through service. And the Mayavadis, they want to serve, but to become the master. Just like they want, as Prabhupada said, they worship the guru to become the guru. The Sahajyas, they worship the Lord. They reject the guru because they think by worshiping the Lord, they can also become like the Lord. And the Mayavadis worship the guru to become the guru, but the guru is actually God anyway, so I become guru and then I realize my position as God. That's Mayavad philosophy. That Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Shiva, Guru Guru, Guru Guru, Guru's everywhere. The feet of the guru is just the whole existence. But then I'm guru also. Until I become guru, then I also become the existence. Very dangerous. There's 2 contaminations in true spiritual philosophy. One, to worship the Lord for material desires as the goal of that worship, and the other one is to worship the Lord to become the Lord. These are the 2 contaminations that have, what we say, afflicted and affected true spiritual philosophy since time immemorial. So be careful of these 2 things. We don't have to worship the Lord for anything material. Krishna supplies everything you need. And even if you get something material you want, it may not bring you happiness. Many times it doesn't. So worship the Lord to please the Lord. That is our position. That is our only position, really. There's no second position. And the other second position is simply a feature of the material energy. Okay, any questions, comments?